Welcome back to EmpoweredPatientRadio.com. I'm Karen Jagoda, and my guest in this segment is Debbie Willis. She's the CEO and founder of PatientLink, mypatientlink.com. And I heard Debbie recently at an IHT Squared event, a health IT event here in San Diego, and she was on a panel, a very interesting panel. So Debbie, thanks for taking some time today, and I wanted to ask you, what was your general reaction to that event last week?
Well, it was very interesting. I had the opportunity to meet with some people that were doing very interesting things. I go to conferences a lot, but usually it's very focused on a particular product, and this conference had a mix of different kinds of people, so it was nice.
Was it a very interesting, diverse crowd? And your expertise is the electronic medical records world. And did you get the sense that that people are still thinking about this as a problem rather than as a solution?
It's kind of both. Honestly, I think that the sense that I get is they're trying to understand the best way to accomplish some of the mandates that are have been placed with meaningful use and quality measures, things like that.
And basically, they're kind of resistant because they like the old style just fine. Are they thinking that it's going to just put more technology between them and the patient? It seems to me sort of digital records should have been here a long time ago. When I go into doctor's offices and I still see all these color-coded file folders, it kind of makes me wonder. But are you getting the sense that there's just a lot of, sort of a lag here in this industry because people just don't have the time to think about it? Or is there some deeper reason that they're kind of resisting all this digitizing of records?
Well, actually, most providers do have digitized records, and I've been working in this field for 18 years now. So, of course, I've seen a giant leap over the last 18 years. I don't think that the biggest problem is that they are resisting because they don't want to do it. I think part of it is cost. It's very, very expensive. The other is they want to make sure that they are making the right choice. That's very important with all the mandates and rules. Excuse me. Some electronic medical records do a better job than others. And so they're being very cautious, very careful to make the right choice, because what's happening now is there is an enormous amount of groups that are changing from their old electronic medical record to a new one. That's kind of the new phase now. It's not going from paper to an electronic medical record. It is really going from one electronic medical record to another one, and which is very, very costly, not only financially, but time-wise.
And some of the things that are coming along in this new a digital record is more images, I'm assuming, these kind of bigger files that might have been in their own databases in the past?
No, it's really the biggest thing, and you probably heard this in several of the talks, and actually it became the focus of talks that weren't even supposed to be focused on that, is patient engagement. That there's a requirement in Meaningful Use 2 and the not yet finalized Meaningful Use 3, that the providers need to send their records, make available the patient's electronic medical records digitally. And the EMRs and the health organizations are trying to figure out how to engage the patients digitally. And that's why I went to speak, because I have a product called MyLinx, but we're actually standing on the other side. We're standing in the shoes of the patient saying, how do I, as a patient, want to engage with the provider? What do I need as a patient? And then the clinics are trying to figure out, how do we engage with the patient so that we can meet meaningful use? So they have a mandate. They have to do something, and they can't really figure out what it is. So my focus is, hey, let's get the patient involved here. Let's find out what the patient wants to do. And so that is my product called MyLinks. My first product that I built in 1999 was to meet the provider's needs. So the provider could automatically get the data from the patient, and they wouldn't have to be typing in the computer instead of focusing on the patient. But you know, that was all for the provider. The provider had the records, and that helped the provider to take care of the patient. Now, this new product that I was speaking about on the panel is for the patient. MyLinks is MyLinks.com. That one is for truly patient engagement with the patient in the driver's seat.
And really flipping the model around, because
it is. It is. And actually, it's kind of funny, because all the patient engagement things that people have talked about, they're not thinking about the patient sometime. And also, communications have been provider to provider. That there's been a really interoperability. You heard that word a lot. They have been focusing on interoperability of sending data from one provider to the other provider, saying, oh, well, medical records are very important in order to take care of the patient, so we need to have interoperability. But they completely forgot that the patient needs to be part of this picture, that you can't just have providers talking to each other about a patient. Engage the patient, truly, by allowing them to get their copies of their electronic medical record, have two-way bi-directional communication. And the product that we're building, MyLinks, is the first product that actually will give the patients the same secure rights to communicate with the providers, have their questions and their statements go all the way to the providers in the electronic medical records, the same way that providers communicate with each other. It's using the same type of security. And so I think 5 years from now, we're going to see an incredible change in being true engagement of a patient, because now the patient really will be able to be engaged.
And more than just wanting to be engaged, they're actually given this information that they didn't have access to in the past. Isn't that right?
Exactly. People who want to be engaged feel helpless and hopeless, because there has historically been no way to engage. The doctor was the person who told you what to do, and you were supposed to obey them. And so there was not really an engagement. It was a father-child or a mother-child relationship. And now patients are starting to see themselves as partners in their care, not as much as we would like them to be, but part of that problem really is the fact that there's not been the ability for patients to engage. And so now once we start giving them tools where they can engage, I think they're going to run with it. I think it's going to be a consumer-driven market.
And that's part of the reason when I heard you speak that I knew I had to get you on the show, because that's what we're all about here. But we're going to keep talking today with Debbie Willis. She's the CEO and founder of PatientLink, mypatientlink.com. You can follow them on Twitter at mypatientlink. I'm Karen Jagoda, and you're listening to the EmpoweredPatientRadio.com show. Follow me on Twitter at Karen Jagoda. Like us on Facebook at Empowered Patient Radio. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to EmpoweredPatientRadio.com. I'm Karen Jagoda, and my guest in this segment is still Debbie Willis. She's the CEO and founder of PatientLink, mypatientlink.com. And Debbie, it's so interesting to hear you describe the situation from the patient's point of view, because It seems to me all patients aren't equal. And as you said in the previous segment, when you were talking on the panel at the IHT Squared event, they were talking about opening records up. And one thing that struck me was how few people really took advantage of, say, seeing the doctor's notes, even though they might be posted. Only a small percentage of people actually go in and focus on the details. And I'm wondering if you think, as you were saying there in the end of that last segment, is this a cultural change? Do we need to start getting people more involved at a younger age, perhaps, to be more involved in knowing the details and not just the kind of bottom line?
Well, I think it is a cultural change, but I don't think it has anything to do with age. I think that the problem is the culture has been that every time a patient tried to open the door to their own records, the door was locked. And there's only a certain amount of times when you're going to go up to a door and it's locked that you stop going up to that door. And so now we need to not only unlock the door, but pull the door open and tell people, hey, you really have a right to your own records, and we would like you to participate. So the culture really is, number one, letting patients know legally they have a right to their own records, and two, that they'll get better faster if they do start participating. Look at their records. There's actually a quite a large percentage of records that are wrong. The doctors have the wrong medications. There are things in there that are incorrect. Once patients start viewing their own data, they'll be able to tell the doctors what the right answer is, because the doctors are sharing this information and information exchanges and stuff. So it's really important that somebody who really knows what's going on, which is the patient, look at that information, have it corrected. And then when it's shared, it'll be shared, with the right information. So I think the cultural change is really knowledge, and then feeling empowered to step forward. The name of the panel that I was on was called Empowering the Engaged Patient. So my take on what I presented on the panel was the way to empower somebody is to give them their own electronic medical records, let them know that they have that right, and give it to them from all of their providers in one location, and then give them the ability to do something with that data, which the other part of our MyLinks product is, once I get my records from all my doctors electronically, maybe a doctor in New York, I may have a doctor in San Diego, I may have one in Kansas City. I can request all those, have them in my own site, and then I can indicate that I want to participate in research. So then part of that is MyLinks will find organizations who are doing research. Let's say I wanted to participate in brain cancer research. MyLinks would find people who are doing brain cancer research, and then connect the patients with those people, and let the patients decide if they want to participate in that research or not. Part of the problem when you get sick is you need your records, but you also want to do something about it. You want to feel like I am doing the best and the most that I can to get well. So reaching out to the experts in the field and the researchers in the field are something that really does empower patients. And so that's another aspect of what our program will do, our application. The third aspect is connecting patients with other patients. When somebody signs up at MyLinks, they can indicate not only that they want to participate in very specific research, but that they want to connect with somebody with a very specific illness. I can say, I want to connect with other patients who have brain cancer. And so if I check that box and you check that box, then we'll get an introductory email to each other, and we'll be able to then connect. We can have our own one-to-one conversations, or we can have little group conversations. And I think that's another step in empowering patients, is getting them with people who understand them, because they're going through the same thing, whether it's yourself going through it or a loved one. you can connect with people who understand.
And you can see why this whole idea of empowerment is really taking on so many different forms these days, because what you've just described is three very different kinds of empowerment. And I think we're just starting to realize what patients can do on their own, what caregivers can do in conjunction with patients. And essentially, are you getting the feeling that where you're going with this is more mobile devices, more access points where people are taking pictures of a rash or getting a virtual doctor sort of appointment on demand, so that it's all kind of digital in the first place? So there's not this kind of translation from the doctor visit to online, but it's all online at the beginning.
Well, we are going to see more digital and telemedicine, but the information will still be housed at the clinic in the doctor's electronic medical record. So it'll still be there because the doctors have to document and keep track of what the discussions you're having with you, and that's the way they get paid as well. They have to have the information in their own system. So it could be in the future that people will want to be saving the information themselves, that the doctor doesn't just have it, but they could. The product that we're building is not only going to allow them to pull data, request data from all of their providers, but they can also upload into their MyLinks account any information from their PC, from their phone. They can use devices, like a blood sugar device or something that'll take that information and put it in their MyLinks account and also send that to the provider. This is the beginning of patient empowerment. First, we need to know that we can do it, and then we need to make tools to do it. And then I really do believe patients are going to get together and they're going to find solutions to problems just because of the quantity of people that have come together to with the same focus of either curing something or finding a better way to live with an illness.
So, do you have to get permission from your care provider to participate in your system? Does your healthcare provider have to have an account and be using your solution for patients to be able to participate? How does the model work?
No, that the provider does not have to be using our product. One of the mandates for people for electronic medical records is that in order for that electronic medical record to be certified, that electronic medical record has to be able to send and receive secure messages. And historically, those secure messages were just provider to provider, from one organization to another. So the government started laying a foundation of interoperability, and one of the things they realized is they had to put some rules on the electronic medical records. You have to be able to send and receive a secure message with another provider using a different electronic medical record. And it's basically an email address. It's called the protocol is called Direct. So it's if you had a certified email address and I had a certified email address and they were both secure, then you and I could talk regardless of what EMR we had and where we are. It's kind of like a cell phone. I can talk to somebody on AT&T and I can be on Verizon. We're going over the same towers. So Direct is the ability to basically the secure email to allow communication between them. And that's what we're giving every patient.
We're going to have to stop this right here, but you've just opened up a whole other area of conversation. So we're going to have to get you back on the show because this is new technology. And I'm thinking in the old days when computers were invented, they thought there'd be three or four big computers and that'd be all we needed in the world. And now we've got them in our pockets. So you're
Yeah.
on the cutting edge here. It's been great to hear you speak at the panel, on the panel. Great to have you on the show today. And we'll stay in touch. We've been talking today with Debbie Willis, CEO and founder of PatientLink, mypatientlink.com for more information. Follow them on Twitter at mypatientlink. You've been listening to empoweredpatientradio.com today. I'm Karen Jagoda. Follow me on Twitter at Karen Jagoda. Like us on Facebook at Empowered Patient Radio. And we'll see you next time.